Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.
I'm 16, living in paradise with the lions and birds and stuff. But I'm 16, and it's not enough. I'm alone. I mean, there's mom and dad and the animals we observe. But frankly, they're all on my last nerve.
The Broadway musical Mean Girls tells the story of Katie Heron as she and her parents move from Africa to America, where Katie will leave behind potentially dangerous animal encounters and learn to navigate the emotionally perilous habitat of high school. In true Bildungsroman fashion, Katie loses her way, falling in with a superficial clique led by alpha female Regina George, before she rediscovers her moral center and learns about true friendship. Also, it's very fun and funny. The musical is adapted from the hit 2004 film of the same name, which was written by Tina Fey, adapted from Rosalind Wiseman's book Queen Bees and Wannabes. Fey returns to write the book of the musical, which features music by Jeff Richmond, lyrics by Nell Benjamin, and direction and choreography by Casey Nicola. The show was nominated for 12 Tony Awards last season, a number that should make even a plastic proud. October 3rd is Mean Girls Day, and there will be events all over New York City to celebrate. To join in on the fun, I spoke with Erica Henningsen, who plays Katie Heron. I began by asking her what it's been like to originate this role on Broadway.
Oh my goodness. Well, you're catching me sort of at the end of 6 months from the start of the roller coaster to now when it's settling down from the climax. And it has been, now that there's a little time to breathe and have some hindsight, it was better and more crazy and more fulfilling and more challenging than I think I could have anticipated. For so many reasons, that the show was really loved by people even before they came into the theater, just because they loved the source material that Tina wrote, the screenplay. And then to see them hop on board even more when they see what we did with it, that was the biggest joy and continues to be the most fun of performing the show every night.
Were you familiar with the movie before getting cast in this?
Oh, yes. our whole cast is early 20s to early 30s. So we're all in sort of that decade where we were either, some people were seeing it in theaters. If you were like me, it came out on DVD and you snuck watching it because it was PG-13. So that was me. It was one of those first PG-13 movies that my sisters let me watch with them. And I just remember thinking, oh, this is good. I don't think a lot of 12, 13-year-olds have great taste at that time in life, but that was the first time I remember watching something and thinking, I've never seen anything like this, and I can tell it's different, and I don't have the wherewithal to know why, but I know it's smart. And I, as a 13-year-old person, saw all those girls at my own school. So even though I didn't realize that it was written by, you know, a grown woman with a daughter, that I felt like I was watching something that was true and honest to the high school experience and not what was rooted in stereotypes or in sort of the, not to diss on PBS, but the after school special PBS documentary style. And I think that's why it is around to this day, because it rides that line of teaching you something, but it does so in a very wickedly funny way.
Right, I hadn't thought about that before, how a lot of times when not always, of course, there's a lot of great teen material out there, but a lot of times when adults write teens, they're like mocking the heck out of their experience.
Exactly.
Like they're so superficial and it doesn't matter. I'm like, yo, they just haven't learned anything yet.
Right. They just don't know. And that's the great thing about doing the show, is I get to go back to high school, and especially the part that I play is so honestly trying to figure out how to survive, and the choices and mistakes she makes are all with a good intention, or with the intention of, well, I think this is the right thing to do. And it's funny from an outsider perspective, and it's funny in the show. But I think that's why this material in particular, being about high school, it has stuck around, because Tina didn't play to the lowest common denominator.
What are some of the main changes? I mean, obviously, this is a musical. The movie wasn't a musical. Yeah. But what are some of the other changes that happened between the film and the show?
And the show. Well, the biggest thing, and, you know, maybe I felt this the most because I play this character, but the way Katie morphed from the movie to now is very different. And it was actually something we didn't really realize needed to happen until after our tryout in D.C. In the movie, you're able to follow Lindsay Lohan because you have the ability of close-ups and you have voiceovers and the story can be told just by zooming in on her face. We can't do that in a massive Casey Nicholaw musical theater piece. So I think we got to DC and we learned, oh, people don't understand what this character, my character Katie, is experiencing, because we're anticipating that they're looking at her face right now, but we have this massive song and dance routine going around her, so how do we know? And how that translated was the character is a little bit more on the balls of her feet. In the movie, she doesn't really want to go. She doesn't want to go to Chicago. She doesn't want to leave Africa. That's been turned on its head because you sympathize with her immediately because she's so excited to go to real school, have real friends, and then to be knocked on her butt, literally. As soon as she gets there, you see, oh, she didn't anticipate to have the rug pulled out from underneath her. And that's for me, one of the biggest through lines of change is Katie is a lot more active. She's a bit more enthusiastic just because I think she needs to explode off the stage a bit more as the person that the plot revolves around. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing musical theater, that central character has to be, there has to be more for the audience to hold on to. And that's not always the case in film because we have those camera angles to help us, to help guide us.
You mentioned your director choreographer, Casey Nicholaw. What has it been like to work with him?
Oh my goodness. Casey, well, he is a big teddy bear human in the sense that he has such a clear vision for what he wants and he sees it in his head better than I can. You know, at a certain point, you just realize just trust him because he knows what's happening and he gets so much work done so quickly. But at the end of the day, he just wants to have fun with us. He really wants, one of his favorite things about the show is how incredible our ensemble is because they live and breathe life into these characters. And that is what his background started as. And so he really appreciates that. He likes that this group of young people on stage is having a grand time every night. And that starts from the top down because he encouraged that in a way that we still got a lot of work done between DC and opening it on Broadway. But it was always with the idea of this will not work unless I see all of you, all of your heart, all of your flaws, all of your insecurities and all of your joys on stage every night.
Speaking of top down, yes, and we have mentioned her several times, mm-hmm, but tell me as talk? Much as you can, as much as you want to. We have 2 hours about Tina Fey.
Tina Mom. I mean,
we don't really have hours in case you thought we did.
Yes. I think what all of us would say is that she is one of those few exceptions to the don't meet your heroes rule because she has, there are definitely two sides to Tina. There's the side that we all see on SNL, the person who is so wackily funny and is not afraid to make a fool of herself. And then you see the woman who has, she would probably hate that I'm using this word, but she has created a comedy empire with her work. And she does so in a way that is so clear and specific. She never wastes words. She has no ego. When there were things that didn't land with the audience, it was never a, well, you're not delivering that line properly. It was, well, let me try something else. What fits you? You know, there were lines that went through maybe 15 permutations because she was trying to write for each individual person. And when she finally landed on it, you knew because the audience would go over with gangbusters. And one of my favorite things about getting to work with her is also her family was involved. You know, Jeff, her husband, was our composer and wrote an incredible score. And her daughters are young girls, young women, and seeing that she's able to balance what she does in her family life and her professional life, and then also seeing that she does so with grace, but honesty. One of my favorite things I saw her do was, you know, she will be kind to everybody, but she's not fake. She is totally authentic. She will say what is on her mind in a way that you want to listen, because she doesn't try to control the room unless it's something really important to her. And when she intervenes, you're like, yep, you're right. Of course you're right. You're Tina.
Hero, hero, hero.
Yes.
Can you put yourself back in the headspace of auditioning for the show and how intimidating that was, and tell me about that?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I really like telling the story because I think young performers should know this about the ups and downs this business can take you on. I auditioned for The Lab, which is where you do it for a month in New York. No costumes, limited set, limited band. You're just putting it up in front of people for a first pass. And I had auditioned for that, and I was not cast in it. And I got really close, and I let it go, because that's the only thing to do. I didn't get it. I was so disappointed. I thought, well, I thought that was the one. And I moved on. About 3 months later, it came back around, and my agent called me and said, they want you to go back in for Katie. And your heart is equal parts joy and dread, because you just think, I've already put myself through this rejection once. I don't know if I can do it again. And of course, you're going to do it again, because that's your job. But I think because I had already said goodbye to it in a little part of my heart, going in for it, there was such a lack of fear anymore. And there was such a lack of, I have to do this right. Because I thought, well, I didn't get it one time and I lived. So if I don't get it this time, I'll live. And I look forward to going back into the audition circuit, you know, should the day I leave the show come, which I know is not very soon, not anytime soon. But I hope
you don't want to leave. You're still having a great time.
I don't think any of us want to leave, which is rare, you know, especially for young people. But it's a really good group, and it's so seldom on Broadway to have a show that is packed like that every night and enthusiastic. You know, I don't think we'll realize how good we have it until a couple years down the road. But I went back in, and that sort of, well, I truly have nothing left to lose because I already lost it, was a very freeing, exciting experience. And I think that's, you know, I don't know what, if they sensed that, but that's how I felt when I was auditioning for it. I will say the only thing that scared me was a camera in the back that I knew was a tape recorder to be sent to Lorne Michaels. Which you're like, wait, I can't. Lorne can't see this. He needs to just come and maybe we'll chat for a little bit, but just a tape. He's not going to want to work with me. Lorne is also, you know, you meet Lorne and you understand why Tina is the way she is. They're just so smart and calm and level-headed. And as funny as they are, they're beyond intelligent. I just respect them so much.
That's fantastic. I apologize for not knowing part of the answer to this before I ask
worry.
Are you exclusively a musical theater performer?
That's an interesting question. I would say right now, all my focus has been on musical theater. I went to school for musical theater. I have mainly worked professionally in musical theater. And the exciting thing about working on this project is obviously Tina translated her screenplay really well for the stage. But there's something about the writing that is so succinct and comedic. We've all started, you know, going in for little TV things here and there, nothing that would take us away from the show. And all of us have said Tina's writing has made us better actors for the screen, because she is so concise with how she writes. It ensures that when you have two lines to deliver in a little scene for some television series, you know what is being asked of you. So I think I guess I'll just answer on my behalf, but predominantly musical theater, sort of by way of this show and being exposed to that other world, I think we're all itching to do these other projects that scare us a little and are maybe outside of what our quote-unquote training is. Because at the end of the day, it's all just telling a story.
Erica Henningsen plays Katie Heron in Mean Girls, now running at the August Wilson Theater on Broadway. Mean Girls Day is October 3rd. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.